This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and Danny, and you've made it back to another epic Wednesday with epic content and epic audio excellence.
Yeah, and do you know what's epic audio excellence? The rattle. The baby rattle that's like right next to my mic.
We're so glad Charlie's here.
Oh, she's singing.
Yes. She's recuperating.
Why?
Why?
Because she's a year old and, you know, my children don't seem to be interested in food that early for some reason. I don't know. But anyway,
yeah,
I
keep them
ninnied up. But
well,
anyway, she's been tasting a banana.
Oh.
And my children tend to turn bananas into concrete. As their first food.
I remember Arden, your first son, you fed him bananas as his first food.
And very, very ripe.
They say that.
Very, very ripe.
And what came out the other end? The hardest, blackest, I mean, the poor child.
You could have built a house with it.
Yes, Danny.
And for some reason, I was going so slow and I was trying her on avocado and bone broth and coconut oil and all the stuff. And she just wasn't interested in food. And she's a year old. And I'm like, you know what? You got to start because you're acting so hungry.
Okay.
So I started on the banana because she loved it. Like after all, trying all the others.
She liked it sweet.
She loved it. Yeah. But I tell you what, she's been shaking and screaming and doing a little concrete marbles.
Really?
She's trying to push the marbles out.
You all wanted to know.
Can you
that,
throw some?
You?
Can babies take psyllium husks, or is that?
Oh, that'd be worse. Turn the marbles into like marble statues.
Into granite.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna have to go back to egg yolks or something. But she likes that sweet stuff.
Yes.
And you can't give the babies the raw honey, can you?
No.
On this topic, I've had lots of friends who've had babies with, you know, colic or. Baby poo issues, I guess.
Yeah.
And like the only thing that works is like sticking them in a warm sink and like pressing their knees against their belly
we've
and
been
stuff.
Doing the knee massage.
Is what do you do in the case of concrete for babies?
The knee massage, and I've been taking a lot of fennel tea.
To
go through the breast milk.
Yeah.
To the baby.
Oh, just so it becomes really liquidy, your milk.
Well, yeah, I think that it just helps them too. The fennel, you know, the components to fennel come into the milk,
of course,
I think. Yeah.
Is that at Walmart?
The old constipation, isn't it? Yeah. And the digestive gas thing.
Because it makes the milk flow more.
If you
too.
Have the poopy in there too long, it causes methane gas too, right?
Yeah, she's having
But we actually didn't want to start off talking about poops and
baby
gas.
Baby poop,
baby poop, poop.
One of these days we need to devote a whole podcast to first baby foods, but Serene, maybe you need to get better at it before you preach on it.
Oh, mate. I
tried
some great recipes, except for she didn't like them. She just wants the good old banana.
Anyway, I had something to say this week. It was just on my heart, you know, and it doesn't seem like much.
Bring it, Pearl.
It was so strong on me this week. I know we've spent a lot of we've spent a few podcasts here talking about the power of your words. What are you speaking over your life? And I feel like we've harped on it.
But guess,
yes, Serene?
You can't harp on a good thing enough is what I say when I lecture my children.
Well, it's always in my mind and heart because I used to be a negative speaker, right? No more. Now I'm a positive speaker. But to get from where I was to where I am now, and I'm still learning, of course, it's an everyday choice. It's an everyday, basically taking up your cross. It's an everyday, gird up the loins of your mind. It's an everyday, I think this, not that, and I speak this, not that. But the power of words. I know you think, well, maybe you're tuning in saying, oh, they're on this topic again. No, yes, I am. Guess why? Because I don't think some of you have got it yet. I feel like the mother about to give you just a good old talking to.
Can that be a telltale tip?
That's a word. Do you have that here?
A what?
Okay, that's what we grew up in New Zealand saying, telltale tit.
Tit?
You have that Leslie here in America? It? You have it in America? Hey, producer John, you have it in America?
I mean,
producer Les from
I mean,
England.
We may have them. We just don't know about it.
I use that word
this is
daily.
A telltale tit. Your tongue will split. Monkey chew.
Oh, I forget it, but I tell you, I use that word, telltale tit. That comes out of my mouth more than any other word during the day. Stop being a telltale tit. I've got my own set of eyes. If I want to be training the other boys, I will. Stop telling me what they're doing wrong. Like the boys, my boys will constantly tell on each other.
We
like
call
constantly.
It, so white people call that tattletelling.
Mm-hmm.
And where I come from, we call it snitching.
Yeah, snitching.
Or narking. Yeah.
Can I be a narking or a snitching?
Yeah,
okay, so we have talked here about the positive words, and we've been talking about, you know, speaking life of ourselves and this power of death and life and the tongue. And Danny, man, what if you could? He's right up there with us, man. He's just, what if you could?
Oh, you're going to tell on Danny.
What if you could? It's his T-shirt, man. It's his title. It's his name. But guess what? You know, we've told you here on the podcast that he came to work the other day in his wife's robe, wore it for 2 weeks, grocery shopping in it, going to Kroger's because
he needed just, a hug.
You got a bit in a bit of a funk mentally, right? Some physical things were happening, but it happened in your brain mentally.
It wasn't
right?
a bit. It was the darkest place I've ever been
so
in.
So after the few podcasts, we sat down and we're like, Danny, we're going to speak some life of you. And we started speaking what he's spoken to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, wow, that's deep. That's new stuff, eh?
No, we're like,
and
no.
We're like, no, you've been saying this to us and to everybody.
We're like, no, Danny, we talk about this almost every week. And he's like, oh, yeah, but it only just hit me.
So the point being is, in the snitching, my point is that we can always do with a good dose. Even the people that preach it the most need a good dose.
Well, there's a phenomena about that, even in having someone kind of speak into your business or health or something, even those experts who you may hire to do that actually have people they hire for themselves, because it's very difficult to, it's obviously possible. And there's times when you have to encourage yourself, but it's so hard and it's so helpful for someone else to come in and diagnose and look and say, hey, this is what's so clear and you can't see it because you're in it.
Right, exactly. Just this week, I thought about the power of words in a new way. And you know, the things we speak over us. And I'm speaking about us specifically, many aspects of our lives, but our trim, healthy mama journeys, our health journeys in this context. You know, what are you saying? Because still, honestly, I know not everyone listens to these parties, but a good group of you do. And we've been talking here about, what are you saying over yourself? Are you saying, you know, I am such a stubborn loser that, or I just can't do those foods. And, you know, or I because I'm allergic to these 50 things, or the things
or
that
blood
we're
sugar,
saying.
Like diabetes runs in my family.
Yeah, I'm just one of those ones who can't get it together. I just can't seem to do this trim, healthy mama thing. Okay, think about some of the things you've said this week. And then I want to think about the power of words. I want you to think about the power of words. I was thinking about this week. You know, when you are dating someone, maybe, and you realize, could this be the one, you know? And there's those three words, I love you, right? But you don't say them at first. There's this huge like waiting time, or should I? And because those words have such power, they change the course of a relationship. No, they change the course of a life. Mm-hmm. They can. Those three words set in motion things that automatically happen once they're released from your mouth, right? Think about it.
Totally true.
So you wait and there's a time and you announce, I love you. It is out there. It is spoken. Mm-hmm. And now things happen. All right? Your whole body changes. Your mind changes. It was a decision. I love someone. I act differently now. I choose different choices in my life now. My whole, everything changes with those three words that you decided to speak, right? Now, how about these other words? How they change your life? These are just words, people, just words. I want you to think about the power of these words. I want a divorce. What happens with those four words? Huge things are set in motion just through saying them to your partner. You know, a lawyer is contacted. Feelings change. A decision is made. Children, you know, their parents go in different directions. It's like universe is set on a different course with just these things that we speak, and then things happen. So I want to say, you know, when you say those words, and even if you're not seeing it, no, I am healed.
Oh.
What happens?
So true. I was just thinking about that as you were speaking, Pearl. What happens if somebody's diagnosed with a disease and all of a sudden they go home and say, you know what, to their friends, I'm dying.
Oh.
I mean, that is huge. And science has seen it. Science has seen even with false diagnoses where the doctor will be like, you've got 3 months to live, or you've got 3 weeks to live. And the people will die within that time, even though actually they didn't even have the disease because it was a false diagnosis. But it was spoken over them and they go home and they repeat it and they tell their body it.
And it becomes a synapse in the brain. And the brain then produces proteins in the body. And all of the things line up with what you're speaking
about. What about this? Yeah? My metabolism is slowing down now because I'm over the hill where, because I'm postmenopausal now it's going to be really hard for me to keep the weight off.
Or right now I could, you know, I'm going through changes. I remember we had Coach Chris sit here a few weeks ago and, you know, she's in perimenopause like I am. It's just a label, but we both could be looking at this, wow, this is hard. My hormones are so wacky. You know, I'll have a period twice in a month and then I won't have one for 3 or 4 months. And it's messing up my metabolism rather than I'm in this beautiful stage called perimenopause where I have had my children and now I'm released into a new lease on life. My life is changing, but oh, the benefits that I feel seasoned. I feel wiser. I'm going to adjust my eating habits a little bit because of this beautiful season of life that God has let me live long enough to experience. No, that is the way I want to talk about it. And that's the way I want to look about it. Danny, you want to talk?
Wow, man. Y'all are just so good that like the whole time you're talking, I'm like four topics in at this point of like directions and ideas. And
I know you go to speak, but then we cut you off. So you were probably there about like three topics ago.
Yeah. But, you know, as I was driving here today, I was actually thinking about, give me a second. You guys don't like this word. I was thinking about death and how serious the fear of death is in people that we would never kind of consciously say that, you know, we're walking around afraid of death. I actually just faced death and I don't mean real death. I mean, mental, like the internet told me I had cancer,
Yeah.
but it was so deep and so dark. It was like being under 1,000 pounds of water. Right. And I mean, I could not see out of it. I wept. Mm. Wept in my bathroom alone at midnight, couldn't sleep, and just wept as I saw my kids at my funeral. I mean, just...
Yeah, your brain went there and...
Just washed in death. And, you know, it's had me thinking about it lately and how, you know, it's the inevitable destiny of every human being, what we commonly call death, which I think is a really bad word to call what happens as we sail to our next adventure, which I like a lot better than death. Because if you think about how natural it is and how like we avoid it and run from it our whole life, you know, when, you know, at funerals, we throw flowers every, I mean, we're trying to just like escape it. And there's such a reframing, I think, that needs to happen with what the human experience is as a whole about loss and suffering and death. And I think when we really face it and overcome it and see it victoriously, thanks to Christ, it just changes how we eat and how we walk. And, you know, I just realized that the thing that was really holding me back in so many areas was being afraid of the consequences of death. And I never knew that until I faced it and grieved it for like a solid week and actually I felt like I faced death. It was like a lion I had to fight, you know? And, you know, as so many things, when you were talking, have you guys heard the story about, and it may be made up, you were talking about when somebody says, I want a divorce. Have you heard the story of the man who told his wife he wants a divorce and wanted it finalized in 30 days? And she wasn't with him. She didn't even know. And then she found out he was cheating. Supposedly this is a real story, but I read it online, so I don't know. And she finally agreed, but said under one condition, I'll sign the papers, but you have to carry me to bed every night. At the carry me, just like we did when we first got married.
Aww.
And he reluctantly agreed to do this. And he said the first 3 nights were really awkward as he carried this person he didn't love anymore around like a friend. And he would, he did it night after night. He said like by night five, he said he just noticed that she was wearing a mascara that he thought was kind of nice. And it goes through this whole process of like by like night 10, it's like were like newlyweds.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought of that as you said, you know, how powerful those words are, because those words, they really frame up deeper mentalities that are behind those words. And if you can catch those little foxes, you know,
yeah.
And one of the ways to catch them, I think, is really being conscious of your words and what you're believing about your life. Are you believing that your marriage is going downhill?
Yeah.
You know, do you believe that your marriage is not what it used to be? I mean, we've all got phrases that we repeat in our brain. And those phrases are so powerful.
Oh, so true, Danny. And on a lighter level, because that was so awesome and deep.
Sorry.
And, no.
Always.
I don't want to go lighter. I'm just embarrassed for going lighter, because that was just so deep and, and sweet and meaningful. And I love that. But just, I don't want to like just go lighter and just change gears and just be quirky.
But you are, so go ahead.
But
just do
oftentimes
it.
When I'm at the store and I meet somebody, people are just so used to saying negative things, they don't even realize it. And they'll just say things like, yeah, I'll be looking at something, at some contraption or a stroller or something, and they're like, yeah, well, I can't walk like I used to ever since I turned the corner at 50. I've been aches and pains mm-hmm. since then, and I'm just going downhill mm-hmm. every day. And, you know, they're happy, they're joking,
yeah,
they're laughing
joking.
About it, but they're speaking it over their body. Or
everywhere you go.
Or it'll be like, even with my children, oh, better you than me. Look at all those children, you know, that my children were the death of me. And, yeah. you know,
ooh, I called myself... to my son, who's 13 now,
yeah,
I was like, "Oh, you think you're ready to take on your old man?"
Yeah, right.
And I just shut it down. I said, "Not sorry, I'm not old at all."
Yeah, yeah. I call myself timeless now, and I actually totally believe it. I'm all about it because, you know, I'm the youngest of the family, our family, and I'm used to being the Shirley Temple, right? The
baby. That explains
so
much.
My whole pride was in the fact that I was the younger one, you know? But now, once you get all over 40, sorry, you're all just a bunch of, you know, just a bunch of old fluffs.
Yeah.
Not really. I'm just totally teasing. But my point being is I'm realizing, oh, that identity isn't mine anymore, the little baby.
No.
But I'm realizing, oh, I'm totally timeless. Like, I'm a spring chicken. Eternal life, mate. Eternal life. When I'm in my 90s, that's just going to be an awesome season, because I love summer, autumn, winter, spring. It's just going to be a season. But that, all of that is just, it's just all conceptual. It's just conception stuff, because eternal life when we cross the veil.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. And can I talk about that deep subject of death for a minute, Danny? Because I know that you were there, and we talked to you, and you were there, and you were in a tough place. And as I told you, I've been there before. I used to have night terrors because I'm like, what if I'm torn from my family? You know, what if I get breast cancer and my children are left? And how would they do that? And they need me, because their father can't input to them that they need me for. You know, all the things that would be left, that, you know, God's got it. But here's what I want to say about death. We are born and we die, right? However, we, as believers in Christ, we are new creatures. As like you say, we need to look at it differently. We're going to our next adventure to be with our Father, right? Again. But we are awarded a long, healthy life here.
Yes.
Now, some things, acts of God, we don't understand. I don't think they're acts of God, but sometimes there's tornadoes or things like that. But I believe, and the Bible clearly shows us, we are to be in health. And it says, if you honor your parents, you have a long life. Long life is one of the promises.
Mm-hmm.
And so I refuse to live in a fear of death. If God chooses to take me on a plane or something, then that's His. He will deal with my children and stuff. But no longer am I going to spend my nights in terror over what that, because that's when it's a spirit of fear, and that's when it shapes our lives.
I see
in
what you're saying. There's like the double sided seesaw. We've got to trust the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
And we don't know what He knows, His eternal scope.
Yeah.
So we'll leave Him to that, right?
Right.
But what job has He given us to? He's given us the job of taking hold of His promises and cashing them in.
Yes.
Now, he's given us a blank check. We can cash none and we can put zero on the check.
Yep.
Or we could put the whole spanking all of them, right? And so when
on
my
that
son,
check is healing when my, and health.
When my son Arden,
yes.
Just for new peeps in the room, he was fighting cancer and got to the stage where it was...
Stage four, very bad.
Yeah, yeah. Just that'll sum it up.
Days, but I remember days my to live brother, according to hospital, yeah.
Yeah, my brother coming out and we were all like, we had a 17-week every night prayer meeting just like totally claiming the promises over Arden. But my brother came out and he started just, an anointing came over him. Mm. I just remember it was like, it wasn't just a gentle prayer. There was a lot of lovely gentle prayers, but this was like, this is his contractual right. There's a contract that a young man who honors his mother and father, he shall have a long life. Now, Arden has honored his mother and father. It is his contractual right. And he was just like, totally.
I remember that.
We all got pins and needles. He was just saying, I'm taking the check all the way to the bank and I refuse to have nothing but the total fulfillment of what I write on that check. Because it's a right of his and it's a contract. And I believe that we can do that so powerfully in so many areas. The promises are for us, but so many times we just let them sit on the shelf. We just let them sit in the dusty old Bible. We have to appropriate them, you know,
but as we say them, like you got to speak them out because then the speaking out sets things in motion. It's a spiritual law, but it's a universal law, meaning it's an earthly law. What we speak births things.
So maybe you don't feel love for somebody, and maybe you have said those dreaded four words, I want a divorce. But maybe as you turn around your words and just say, I love you, even if you're not feeling it, you're starting another law in motion there. Mm-hmm. You're starting back the law of love. And
yes, it puts things in motion.
Exactly.
Exactly. And we're not saying, of course, you know, if there's infidelity or whatever, you choose in your marriage. You choose if you know, obviously we're for marriage.
There's been some amazing marriages being turned around when there has been.
But we're not looking at your marriage and saying you must stay together. Obviously, your personal situation. But great things can happen when you speak. These laws, they happen because it's intricate. If you're a human being on this universe, you have power with your words. You can speak things into being because it is your right. You are made in the image of God. God spoke and it became. When we speak, things are becoming, whether for our good or whether for our detriment.
Right.
So be careful with what you're saying about your health journey, about your weight, about what you can do or you can't do. I really feel like a mother giving a lecture today, but I'm still seeing it. I want to get it into your mind. No, be careful with your words.
Totally be careful. And, you know, there's a lot of super spirituality to words like, well, if God wants to take me by cancer, then so be it. If God wants me to be blessed and I'm just going to whatever, you know, just and almost an apathetic place with your words.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, like I said, we rest in God's sovereignty. There is a full circle to all of this. And God has superseded things because he knows he has a greater knowledge of everything. But he so wants us to take hold of his word. And his words say death and life are in the power of the tongue. And his words say that we can, we can have victory through our lips and that we are sustained and satisfied by the fruit of our lips, or we are destroyed by the fruit of our lips.
You know, I had to accept that I wasn't dying, but I accepted something that for me was way more powerful than I wasn't dying. It was, even if I die tomorrow, I will have completed the work given to me here, and my purpose for being here shall be fulfilled, and that can't be taken away. And what would be happening in me saying I'm dying, again, is me going first to maybe I'm going to help build my kid's house or something up there.
You don't go around saying I'm dying because only God can tell you that. Well, only God can take you.
What's ridiculous. That's right. I mean, at first,
you were believing a lie, Danny.
Yeah. Point A is I was believing a lie. It was absolutely ridiculous. And all these beautiful other promises were the reality, right? That I wasn't accepting. But point B was, I feel like humanity needs to get to a place where we are finished being afraid of death.
No, you're right
death,
with
whereas,
that. You're right.
Where is your sting? I agree 100%. Yeah. But mother hen number two's coming in now. I love the total foundational rock that we can rest on as believers. Death wears a sting because guess what? I'm not dying. I'm going to be more alive than any of you when I pass the veil, right? Than any of you here left back on earth. However, Danny, instead of saying, well, even if I die tomorrow, I will have completed the work of the Lord, blah, 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 everything I was meant purpose for. Sure. Why not be thinking, hey, I have no time for death. You know, I am promised a long life and I've got purpose here and I've got things that I've almost like speaking the other side of it because you're still concentrating on dying tomorrow.
But there's two sides of it. Yeah. You can be doing it in fear, and fear is one of the big things I used to have when I used to sit in an airplane. Remember me, Serene, completely petrified. I just look at it, it's like, I shouldn't be up here. I shouldn't be up here. And it was always like, I can't die. My children need me. And it was always like that fear. Now I'm sitting in the airplane just because I've picked up the promise, like, God, I thank you that you can protect this airplane and thank you that you've got things for me to do. Knowing that despite that, if it goes down, why even am I giving it a thought right now? You know what? Because he'll take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. And so no room. I just can't have room in my brain for fear. And I love what Serene says. No, I don't negotiate with terrorists. Yes. Fear is a terrorist in our brain. It terrorized you 2 weeks ago, Danny, to the point.
Yeah. And you remember Sarah, Sarah or Kat, who wrote in and let us know that she didn't, she was struggling with a really rare disease called the fear of cancer.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like she didn't have cancer. No, she was afraid she had, was going to get cancer.
I've been there for most of my life. I had that disease.
And it's always cancer.
It is always cancer.
I love the verse, perfect love casts out fear. Casts out fear. It casts out fear. And I remember when I was walking through the situations with my two sons, I had the one fighting cancer, the other one, you know, had that car accident, totally.
Put your mouth near that. Look at you looking down. Oh, it's sorry, not in the microphone.
Mother hen number one. Had a car accident, his ear was ripped off his head like he was in total like coma and everything. And I just remember just wanting to go to those places of fear, but I just, the words of the Lord going through my brain, perfect love casts out fear. Who has perfect love?
Only God.
It's only in him can we truly cast out fear. Yeah. We can't go to any other place, not what the doctor tells us, not any other contract with man, any other thing. It cannot cast out fear. No mental gymnastics in our earthly brain, nothing can cast out fear. That's why I don't do mental gymnastics anymore, where I try and fit everything into that perfect box. Okay, I've got it all sealed up. It's all good. And if this, blah, 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 blah. No, it's all junk. Nothing we can do in our human brain can cast out fear. The only thing that can is his perfect love. It's resting, like you said, no matter what he does, if he takes me tomorrow, that's foundation.
Serene, you're so right. But God has this perfect love, right? And I have been a believer in the word and, you know, a pastor's kid since I've been a little girl. So I knew about God's perfect love.
But we didn't rest in it, right?
I didn't rest in it. His perfect love was there. I was down here running around going, I'm scared of cancer. I'm scared my husband will die. I'm scared of this. I'm scared our Trim Healthy Mama business will fold up and then all these employees we take care of, they won't be able to feed their children. I'm scared of that. I'm worried about that. For goodness sake.
And we think pious, wonderful thoughts that we're good people because we fear. Because we're worried about other people and we've got to worry about our children.
Or even we're worried about our children. The fear is not for me. It's not for them. It's for them. I need to be concerned for them. None of it is what God wants.
Yeah. You know, I finally came to this kind of, I think for me, you know, it's all about your mentality. And I've found some mental tools. You know, the phrase, what if you could, is really a mental tool.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, okay, I want to do this so bad, but I reach into my tool pouch that's on my hip, right? Like at the job site. Oh, there it is. What if you could?
Should be a chapter in your book, Dan.
Yeah, like a tool. Yeah, maybe it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I find these little tools are helpful. And one new tool that I've been contemplating lately is whenever I have any sort of mental negative experience, right? Call it fear or frustration, or I feel timid, or I'm afraid. And you'll do it. You'll go through, like, have you ever had like a good 30-minute spell where just something's wrong and you're just in your stomach, but you're making food and you're not thinking about it, but something's wrong and what is it? And then you're like, oh, that's right.
Yep.
And then it's some dumb thing that's totally solvable, but it's totally ruining your day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So like a new little tool for me is I now say that anytime I'm feeling a negative experience,
yes,
it's all it is. Doesn't mean anything's wrong. Doesn't mean that life is going badly or I'm in a bad season. We always, it's a season.
Tough season.
I'm in a tough season. No, it's the brain's little flag warnings waving. It's the brain just saying, pay attention. There's an issue, and it's usually a wrong perspective.
Right.
It's the eye is dark. And so the whole body's full of darkness. Yeah. You know, and it's like if the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light.
It's like saying, you're basically saying, no, there's something you need to look at differently because you've looked at it in the wrong way. And your body is saying, it's telling you.
So if we can just, instead of our negative feelings and emotions meaning something, instead of them meaning, and this is so freaking huge.
Oh, I love that.
Instead of the negative experience or the bad day or the bad season, instead of it meaning something, it's just the brain's brilliantly designed check engine light for you to look at and go, okay, why is this? Oh, and it's always ridiculous levels of solutions.
Yeah.
They're just, you can just solve it in a second or just whatever.
I love that, Danny, and I totally agree with you. That's a great tool, and I'm not dissing the tool because I do believe
sharpen the tool.
No, it's the brain's way
sharpen
too.
It.
Okay, something needs to be looked at in a different way because I shouldn't be having these negative feelings because I'm not made for negativity. I'm made for positivity. So obviously, I've got to put a different pair of sunnies on. Totally agree. But I had the same thing too. And I used to, I don't know why I'm going back to the story of the time, but I used to think when we were going through that season, if we ever get through this with the law, which I believe we will and blah, 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 there'll be nothing that can make me unhappy. Nothing.
So
because at this point, I don't care if we have to like stand on an iceberg for the rest of our life. If our son lives, I will be happy sitting out in Alaska freezing with no home. Everything crash around. Everything. We have no home. We're homeless. No shoes. None of our children have shoes. Doesn't matter. He's alive.
And how long does it last? One week?
Right. To the point where I can get these negative feelings. And it's like, whoa. What am I unhappy about? And so my new tool is, and I love your tool too, but my new tool is if I ever feel just the negativity and the unhappiness and just agitation and where I'm just barking at my children for no reason, straight away I'm like, be off with you head, like terrorists again, because God doesn't put a cap on our happiness. So if I've got this cap making me feel like it's constantly Wednesday and I've got homework, and none of that's true.
It's not Friday.
Then I just realize it's a demonic terrorist that just wants me to be crappy, and so I'm straight away. It's like I've got no reason to have a cap on my happiness. Oh, that's just you, devil. Sorry, off with your head.
Yeah,
you
like
know,
that.
Straight away. If I feel any cap, off with your head, devil, because God took all caps away.
Isn't that interesting?
He says life abundant.
Joy unspeakable.
Yes.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Well, we have these mental states. You know, it's like sometimes we're at this peak state, you know, where it's just like, did I drink 9 cups of coffee? I'm just filled with just excitement and energy and joy. And everywhere I go, I'm just putting on a show. You know, I feel like, for me at least, that's my happy state is I'm checking out at Kroger and I'm fully entertaining everyone who can hear me.
Yeah, that's when Danny's in
just,
his happy place,
yeah, I'm just in this zealous mode. And then other times, it's just like, wah, wah.
Like you're in your wife's robe,
Yeah, the robe day. And it's like, what is the difference? What is it? Am I a creature of such chemical manipulation that I'm going in and out of these positive and negative states? You know, it's interesting when you start thinking about how you're, me, too deep. However, you can measure the brain, you can look at the heart of the body, you can look at the cardiovascular system. One thing I love about that I think Americans are starting to get into a little more, somewhat too far, but at the same time, Americans, or at least Westerners, are starting to believe that there's this invisible part of us that can't be measured and can't have like a machine hooked up to see. They're not really ready.
It's the spirit.
Well, I was going to say, they're not really ready yet to call it the spirit or the soul or whatever sort of invisible. But, you know, if you just...
Science is almost starting to measure.
It's almost catching up with the Bible. Why be downcast over my soul?
Well, you know, interesting, as I was going to this gut doctor, this gut specialist, he was almost nervous because he didn't want to discredit himself.
Yeah.
But he started asking me about like stresses and like, where's my mental state and what are my beliefs? Like he was like, do you have any religious beliefs? Yeah. And I was like, whoa, a doctor asking me about, well, the reason is you can find all of these at like major university studies now online, is they're starting to treat the untangible things of the brain and of the body. They're starting to take them seriously and they're starting to develop systems of getting people in the right state. Mm-hmm. And they're calling the healing that they're seeing because of this placebo.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, you can pray to, in fact, this doctor told me this. He goes, I don't care what God you pray to. If you pray to your God and you believe that he will heal you, he was like, I'm seeing people healed, man, of like every...
Yeah, and placebo goes only so far.
But belief is a universal law.
Yes, it is.
Well,
you see, we promise these things in the scripture, but belief and spoken word, no matter what, he has a 100%. Point, no matter the religion, is a universal law.
Oh, I totally agree. I'm
but
saying,
the cross,
but it only goes so far.
Yeah.
Because there's a point where... You need the cross.
Yeah.
You need the blood because you can't be new creatures without that. You can't actually rise above this constant negative
battle.
Right,
but I do believe that there is healing in that too.
I 100% agree.
Oh, there's dudes out.
He's a gut doctor. Did he talk about the emotions in the gut?
Oh my
Isn't that incredible?
Gosh.
And that backs up the Bible because David said, my bowels. And, you know, he
Here's
expressed
what he
his emotion.
About with the gut. He said, oh, really?
Oh,
David?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense because he said,
was
he
David
said, man.
One of them.
He goes, this is kind of like new science. A
and
lot
my
of
loins yearn. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm well, moved within my bowels. Even Song of Solomon, it's all in the bowels.
I don't think the loins yearning because that's a different connotation.
No, the loins meaning. No, it's me. It was all about the bowels, the innermost.
Yeah, I think you got the words around the wrong way.
Oh, sorry.
Loins are different
thinking,
parts of the
anatomy. I wasn't
anatomy.
Thinking all you R-rated people.
Is this like... some sort of like
she's in my loins yearn.
Is this like a Christian way to like S-E-X-T my wife, like just send her a little message, hey, my loins are yearning.
No,
just curious.
I know, even being that
it's
way
like
in my head I was thinking of it all, my bowels move within and the whole Song of Solomon, but it actually meant the seat of your emotions.
Yes,
they call it the seat of your emotions are your bowels.
Oh, the bowels are the seat of emotion in the Bible.
They have a brain.
Yes, they do.
Okay, that's a whole the brain. Okay,
hey, but okay, you got to finish your thing. You got to finish your thing, and then we got to get a superfood.
Yeah, but I've
got
to say 5 seconds to back up what you said at the beginning. Two after
all
he finishes this
well,
thing.
Go ahead, finish.
They're discovering thought neurons in the heart that actually go out from the heart, not just the brain, but the heart is sending
Isn't
thought.
That huge.
Yes.
Now I betcha. Maybe it's already been studied, but I bet you it's similar in the bowel. And we're going to find as science progresses. Neurons all throughout the body that we just couldn't see and thought, you know. Anyways, okay.
Yeah.
My point is about the gut is what this doctor was saying was that the fight or flight mechanism completely shuts down your digestive system
it
does. It sends instead all of those chemicals to your muscles to be able to either run really fast or to be able to fight.
Yes.
As hard as you can. And it sent it adrenaline shot and this whole thing. I mean, the last thing a guy before he enters the boxing ring can think about is food.
Right, exactly.
And I used to box. And I just remember you'd be starving. You put on the gloves. You start thinking about the fight and it's over.
Do you know what's funny though, Dan?
Eat.
Dan?
Yeah.
Speaking of things, men are like that, right? Men need, like, usually something to happen to them before they change, you know. Sometimes women just want to learn and hey, let's get better at this. But men need this life crisis, you know, like my husband's high blood pressure. Okay, finally, I'll do this trim healthy mama thing, you know.
Yeah.
And then we've sat here and talked about Danny, how the digestive system shuts down when you're in a you know, an emotional state, negative emotional state.
That's why you got to slow eat and get away from
but
all
that. But you had to learn it from your doctor because you're having gut problems. So that's okay. But we won't get too offended, Danny.
No, it's great. Here's the thing,
telltale
though.
Telltale tip. Huh?
Yeah. Up until recently, I never knew how cause and effect it really was. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, you know, somebody would say, you guys taught me, eat an orange for digestion. Right? Get the vitamin C in there because it helps assimilate.
Yeah, I've never seen it in orange, but vitamin C, yeah.
Doesn't it help assimilate other nutrients or something? What'd you tell me?
Not that particular thing.
My whole point isn't founded on this, by
the way.
Okay, but
oranges are good, but we've never said the meat for digestion, but yeah.
What was it that helps with absorption or...
Absorption.
Well, vitamin C helps collagen be used,
and it helps iron be absorbed.
Okay, anyway,
two together.
So take that, right?
All right,
your version that's actually real and not my made up one. I used to see it as like people would say, you know, take a little turmeric for your digestion, or peppermint tea will help with that.
Right.
And I always pictured it as a like long term help that you would never really notice
like
in your daily life.
Take a little bit of relaxation for your digestion.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm drinking my tea and now I know that at 80, I had drank my tea my whole life and it mattered in like a... But I thought it was so tiny, tiny, tiny.
Right.
Like it sort of matters. But what I learned with my little crisis, were we just taking our shoes off?
I'm hot, mate. Yeah.
You're taking your shoes and socks off.
Keep going, Dan.
It is pretty hot.
We've got to wrap this up. You're going to get to a great point.
Well, yes. I'm just curious... you know, I guess what I'm saying is an answer to your thing about how you got to have a crisis. I didn't realize how serious and in the moment and daily the cause and effect thing is of what you put in your body.
Right.
It's actually, you know, you think, well, for example, I'll just have this one piece of cheesecake. Mm. And, you know, of course, I haven't had cheesecake in a month. We'll never see this cheesecake. You'll see it somehow. It's like fuel. It's put in the wrong fuel in your body and it matters.
It's very interesting you said that because I just got sent this care gift for buying furniture at this store.
Oh.
And they sent me some Christie's cookies. Didn't know we were like health people.
Yeah.
And the card said, you will eat 33,000 cookies in your lifetime. Here's help getting there.
Okay.
Right? And I thought to myself, yeah, that's so interesting. I bet you at least half of those 33,000 cookies were just this once.
Just this
once.
Right.
That's, and you get up to 33,000.
Wow, that's a lot.
Every cookie I've ever put in my mouth is a just this once
And
cookie.
What about this? Okay, so let's get back to what Pearl said in the beginning.
Okay.
At this point. Okay, I've been good at this positive speaking, but just this once, I'm going to let it all out. Just this once, I can't stand you. You're really getting on my nerves. Just this once, I'm going to just let it all out. Let it all hang out. How many times? Is it 33,000 times then? Are you going to be speaking death over your family and over your life and over your health?
Yeah.
And then when you were talking about how, let's just see the power of words. It's so true. But when you, and Danny, you were talking about tools, you know, the little, in the tool belt, what if you could, or in the, your other tool. Okay. I'm feeling this stressor. I've got to see things differently. When you see, you speak things differently. Mm-hmm. And when I was talking about having those negative feelings come over me, mm-hmm. my little tool when I feel that is, you know, off with your head, devil. But the other thing is I start saying opposite of my feelings, because my feelings are still in the negative. My feelings are still like there's something just like just crawling up my spine. Like I just feel agitated, right? I'll start saying, boy, I'm excited. And I'll talk to my children, isn't this a great day? And if I start saying that for a few minutes, I get excited and I get these Christmas feelings in my cells. And it really does change my feelings.
The greatest of all feelings.
And I'm telling you, here's what, if you can do this, it's a hugey. I'm going to write a book on this. The Power of Skipping.
Oh,
if you are in a bad mood and something's wrong, you're down, you skip through your living room, you tell me if you don't feel happy after that. You skip outside. I was just skipping the other day, the joy that was flooding my body.
Oh,
you can't skip
it.
If you're down, you can't skip, but you start skipping, you can't stay down.
Oh.
I'm telling you now, here's what I wanted to end with. I started and may I end?
You may.
Yes, but I'm going to say one more
PS.
Oh, you may not.
No, you want the last word?
All I wanted to say is I wanted to wrap it up with some things like, where I wanted to get tangible. Like, I know we've said this before, but come on, we're doing a rehash today. you know, I see on the Facebook, I see many things, and I understand because so many of you knew, and so many as you change things, it is hard sometimes. But you make it harder by what you're saying and by your perspective. Like, I just find this trim, healthy mama thing really hard. Uh-uh, don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really rocking this trim, healthy mama thing. Yeah, I've made some mistakes, but I can do this. This trim, healthy mama thing, it's really giving me a bunch of freedom. Yeah, yesterday I sort of messed up that meal, but I know I can do this. And yes, I am a trim, healthy mama. Yeah, some of my meals aren't perfect, but I sure am a trim, healthy mama.
So good.
There's such a difference and an empowerment that scientifically will flood through your body when you say these
and
things.
And there's an empowerment that comes too. You know, I thought I was rocking this positive speaking thing, but then I also knew that there was some complaints that I needed to say.
Yeah.
Like if it was freezing outside, I'd be like,
oh, I know.
I'm freezing. Or if the walls need painted, these walls are ugly, right? I said the complaint, but I was reading this book that Pearl gave me. It was an empowerment book, actually about relationship. And this person was
that
saying-
That is a good book. It's called what?
Empowering it was an amazing, wife. Yes.
The empowered wife.
Yes.
Oh, it's a good one for marriage.
It's a good one. But anyway, she was saying every complaint that people say, there's really a desire behind it. So find the desire and speak the desire instead of the complaint. So now if I'm freezing and as I'm walking to the car, instead of saying, children, isn't it a free? It's as cold as a mother-in-law's kiss out here. It's freezing. You know, I'd be like, I'm going to enjoy it when I get inside. So I speak the desire. I speak the joy that's coming instead of like, you know, my house is still
the walls got ugly, are ugly paint.
Instead of saying the walls are ugly, I'll say to my husband, I'll say, oh, it's going to be great when we put our favorite color on the wall. Like, just speak the desire.
All that is practice and habit and good stuff.
Yeah.
And then it changes every other part of your life.
And I want to say one thing in closing. We've said these tools and they're great, but there's sometimes a dusty old book, you know, and it's got a couple old dustier hymnals, you know, in the back of a pew, maybe next to them. But if you get out that book and you see it as the modern transcript for true abundant living for 2019 and beyond, there are 7,487 promises that have been – there's more than that probably because there's sometimes promises inside a promise, like more than one promise. But just 7,487 promises in God's word that we can take to the bank that aren't just tools but are total guaranteed checks. If we take them to the bank.
Wow.
I was going to end with another PS, but I'm going to just stop because then you'd have another PS after my PS.
No, I'll leave it.
I'm done.
Trim, healthy mama. Superfood. Spotlight.
Superfood spotlight.
No, you don't need to say that. It's already been done. Okay, Tim.
Okay,
Tim.
Tim, can you leave that? And I'll tell you why I want you to leave that. Just to prove to the world that she really holds the big sister thing over me, even professionally in business.
We have the cutest little kid saying, "Spooper food spotlight." So why are you repeating it?
Good on you, mate.
Right.
Now you look like the meanie.
She wants to leave it in. Okay. So I look like the
Tim,
big bossy
leave that,
sister.
Please. No, so we're talking about an amazing, incredible food, the basis of the healthy Mediterranean people, the basis of a people so healthy that I don't know how many diet books have been written about them, but all of a sudden this food has been villainized. It is
vilified. You can leave that in, Tim.
Vilified? Villainized?
No, vilified.
Oh, see, there she goes again, being the big old meanie. But all of a sudden this food is now it is now poison.
Mm.
It is now only to use to throw at people.
Not by everyone, but by there is a certain diet craze that, and it's not just one diet book author. There's others getting on this bandwagon and saying it's true. Let's say the word tomato.
Oh. Tomatoes are so healthy. And before all of this, scare and the sensational fear diet books, the tomato was considered to be so super anti-aging. And in a lot of studies, and Pearl, you can tell exactly where they are here in a second if I don't explain it properly, but there was a study done, a very, very large study with and it was done of people to add about 4 tablespoons of tomato puree to their diet for 3 months and to see what would happen after 3 months. They measured their actual skin for anti-aging of the skin after 3 months, and it had more natural sunscreen, more prevention of the ultraviolet rays.
A dose of 55 grams, which was 4 tablespoons, of concentrated tomato puree. After 3 months, the tomato eaters were found to possess a surprising 33% higher protection against sunburn.
Isn't that awesome?
They also, their skin had reduced DNA damage.
The aging cancer cells.
Actually regressed, and get this, they were found to have significantly higher levels of collagen.
Pro-collagen,
the,
right?
Pro-collagen, yeah. The protein responsible for the firmness of youthful skin.
Okay, and so this is not even talking about how tomatoes are meant to be incredible to cut the bad cholesterol, to be anti-cancer for internal cancers and things like this, but this is a new one. Let's just think of the beauty of skin, anti-aging, anti-inflammatory of the skin, now, just in 3 months.
Now, let's talk about tomatoes. The scare is with them lately that there's lectins in tomatoes. Well,
in the seeds and in the skin.
Surprisingly, that is where the goodness of the tomato is. Yes. You see, when you start getting crazy and you're saying that foods that God made are no longer good for us and are out to kill us, we then miss out on the things that are potent in tomatoes that kill diseases in our bodies. So incredibly, you know, several large observational studies have tracked tens of thousands of people. This is not a group of like 7, 8 little studies. These are tens of thousands of people. And I'm showing that tomatoes cause a significantly reduced incidence of many cancers.
And guess this, Pearl.
Yes.
The very yummy thing that makes tomatoes have that umami, that special savory taste that's naturally in them, is around the fleshy parts around the seeds. It's attached. It's that little gel around
it
the seeds.
Serena.
And it is that. Yes. The very seeds and the skin that holds these fighting properties, and they're the very things that are vilified. Pearl,
one Harvard University study, you can't really argue with a Harvard study, found that tomatoes and their products had a 35% lower risk of prostate cancer, those who ate them, including a 53% lower risk of the more aggressive forms of cancer. Heart health, incredible. And if study after study.
And if you think, okay, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to, you know, eat lots of salad and throw in a big old tomato. Mm. No, it's actually the cooked tomato that's healthier.
The cooked tomato, when you cook a tomato, it releases so much more of its nutrients, the lycopene. And the lycopene is a thing that fights cancer and fights to heart's diseases. How many more times? I've got it written here. Well, first of all, before I talk about cooking, first of all, when you bring a tomato home, don't put it in the fridge. It's the death of the tomato. Yeah. I just found this out. There's a great book called How to Eat Better by James Wong. It's a British book.
Oh, this book.
Oh, this is good.
Oh, my goodness. It brought such joy to my life because it celebrated God's gift of food. It celebrated. And it just really took down a bunch of the scare myths that are like making life miserable.
It's hard to get here. It's a British book and it's not really here in America.
Did you buy it?
I had to buy it. I bought it off Amazon, but it took like 2.5 weeks. It came from Britain.
Ooh,
oh man, it's a brilliant book.
Under the Queen.
Don't put your tomatoes in the fridge. Put them out on your kitchen counter where they get a little bit of sun, because it causes the lycopene in them to go up 200%.
Isn't that interesting?
And this chemical reaction will not occur below 10 degrees. Okay?
So don't stick them in your fridge.
Yes.
Keep them out. Hopefully in a little bit of sunlight streaming in on them, and they will actually increase their benefits, increase their
types of tomatoes. You know, we always think of that big fat tomato, and on Trim Healthy Mama, tomatoes are a fuel pull, meaning you can go with S or E, but we say don't overdo them. Don't sit there and have 3 big tomatoes in an S meal, because they do contain some natural fruit sugars, okay? But they're not high in them, so we do enjoy tomatoes. But baby tomatoes have the best disease-fighting
properties.
Cherry
tomatoes, plum tomatoes, little plum tomatoes.
Why, Serene? Tell us.
Because, well, first of all, it's a concentrated nutrients and there's more skin to flesh ratio. And it's in the skin, like we were saying before, where all of these phytonutrients, they kind of like nest in there. And so in the little plum tomatoes, it's more of a spherical, like elongated shape that has even more skin to flesh ratio.
Isn't that incredible? And here's another thing. We all are told these days, huge scare tactics. You can only buy locally grown products.
Oh, this is great.
Now, it's fantastic if you can grow your own tomatoes in your garden. More power to you, and they're great, right, Serene?
Yeah.
But local is not always better.
If you live in London like this guy, right, and it's all kind of like a cloudy sky kind of weather, the tomatoes do not, that they're not as rich in all these wonderful disease-fighting nutrients as those that are found in the sunny Mediterranean.
Yes, exactly. So if we're getting tomatoes from Florida and they're coming up here, good for us.
Hey, and doesn't he say that they've actually done studies? And even in the trucking up from a certain state or the shipping over from a certain country, they haven't lost many of their nutrients.
No, they don't lose the nutrients. That's his big thing in this book called How to Eat Better.
Some vegetables do, but tomatoes don't.
Yes, some do, but most actually
it's just broccoli that, that
yeah, yeah broccoli most actually don't. And if you do frozen broccoli, you're fine.
Yeah
Most vegetables and fruits are holding their nutrients.
Oh, this is a release. This
book is such a release. When all these books out there right now are like, this will kill you and that will kill you and don't eat that and you can only live with five things, and he just shows you how to take everyday foods and just make them healthier by what you do when you bring them home.
You better love us, Mr. Wang, because I just want to tell everyone to
James Wong.
To go and, hey, and I'm not just being Chinese racial Wang and Wong. It is very, very different.
Wong.
Yes. Because, you know, I have Chinese daughter.
Oh, Shireen's like, I'm not racist. I have a Chinese daughter-in-law.
No, it's like me saying, like, my sister's Mr. black. Wang, and you're like, well, it's Wong.
Look at Danny.
Just trying to say, the name, I'm sure, is very, very different, and the families are very, very proud of their Wang or their Wong. But
oh, Tim, I'll leave this to your discretion, dearest Tim.
Okay.
Tim Elf.
Hey, I'm proud of the fact that I have I'm so excited. Anyway.
She may think she does protest too much.
Hey, but I do
want to
say, James,
we know you're not a racist, Serene.
Wong? James Wong, I want everybody to buy your book, because I was reading it last night and it was better for me than the shower with the soundscape little musics of waves and everything. It was so bringing peace to me, bringing tranquility to a storm-tossed diet sea these days where everything is wrong. And if you don't buy local, you're going to hell. And if you eat any processed food, you're going to hell. And if you chop up your salad and put it in your fridge, you can't do that. You have to spend the prep every day. You can't do any prep ahead because you're destroying the nutrients. And he has some amazing things to say about that, right, Pearl?
Oh, I'm telling you.
We could go on, but we got to save
that. I do
want
to say, I want you to get his book, but he won't care because we're selling him books here if I read some from
it. Can you send me one for free, James Wong, just for all the publicity?
Yeah, because Serene's stealing mine, Mr. James Wong. I think he's pretty big in Britain. I think he's a superstar. People don't know him here.
Superstar Wong, we could like...
He could come on our potty.
Yeah.
Hey, trapped deep within the tomato cells, lycopene is hard to get out. Until one thing happens.
Cooking?
Yes!
Hey, this is great because I was a raw foodist, but do you know what he says and why he says it? If you have a salad and you spill some tomato from your salad down your shirt, you won't get a very bad stain. But you spill some pizza sauce, it's a pretty bad stain because it's where the color and the carotenoids are... that all these disease-fighting properties are, and it's the cooking that releases that.
I know. So in as little as 30 minutes of bubbling on the stove, it can more than double the amount of bright red lycopene available in tomatoes. And it transformed the lycopene molecules from hard-to-absorb crystals into much more soluble form that is easier for your body to get at,
James Wong on this potty.
I would love
to do it by
him.
Skype.
I don't know, but if he's ever here in the United
producer
States,
John,
hey, we could tell him we're the biggest number one health podcast.
Yeah, hey,
why wouldn't he come
John
on
here? Will you want to get on that?
If there's ever someone we want in our party, it's Mr. James Wong. I want to say
you call him James Wong.
James Wong.
Put the S on it.
Okay, making okay.
Respect here for the
tomato
Chinese
puree when it's actually not just cooked but reduced. Yes, the same stuff that you buy in a can.
Yes,
puree.
Yes.
Guess what? You're going to love your bolognese now. Go look in our cookbooks for the bolognese or any chili or anything when we use puree. It's a whopping 16 times richer in lycopene than the same volume of fresh tomatoes.
Oh, man.
Is that not incredible?
Oh, that's so fantastic.
And he talks about how when you put it with olive oil, and that's naturally what we do.
And I love the way he talks about home cooked versus processed. Because all kinds of cooking is a process.
Yes.
And he talks about just if you make a cake at home cooking with real ingredients.
Yeah.
It's still junk, white flour and white sugar and all that stuff. And it doesn't really matter if it was made in a factory or if it was made
at home.
As long
as it's done with quality and no additives are added. Yes.
He just really sets a lot of...
Anyway, I love me some tomatoes. I've been having them in my omelets in the morning, but what I'm doing every week now, and I'm showing this on our membership site, Serene, I just got Autumn to take some photos. I'm doing a video next time we do videos together, lovies. I get together... kale and spinach. This is going so long. Should I talk about this another day?
It should have been a whole potty on tomatoes.
1 minute. But kale and spinach. Kale has, just so good. He talks about kale in here.
Oh, I know.
But again, enhanced when cooked. Mushrooms.
Yes, enhanced when cooked.
And tomatoes. So once a week, I get them all together and I saute them in a pan.
Oh.
Then I've got them in my fridge and I'm just putting them in everything. I'm putting them in my morning omelet. I'm putting them in my stir fries. I'm putting them in my soups. And it's just there ready to go. And I'm getting all these nutrients and such weight loss benefits of all these mushrooms and spinach. Got to go, people. It's too exciting. And John has given me the eye. So we shall bring that next week, even though we're promised. And when John gives the eye, we must wrap up.
Trim,
everybody.
Healthy brothers and sisters, we love you. We're glad you're with us. Come hang with us on Facebook, Instagram, and anywhere else you can find the Trim Healthy Mama community.
Yeah, bye.
See you next week. Trim Healthy Mama, my way. And then I'll be Trim Healthy Mama.